Snowden. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's part of what we'll be pulling apart here in this hour of the show. Also, a conversation with my pal, Andrew Szabo, who looks at things with a different eye, as he is a marketing branding expert. And we talk about the woes of the Republican Party and their message in Peel Back the Onion. And we're going to do that coming up in our next segment. But speaking of revealing and peeling things and going a little bit deeper, Edward Snowden is a guy who was a high school dropout, but he was a whiz when it came to computers. He was making $200,000, worked for the CIA, worked for private contractors that were poring over this information that he ultimately leaked and then headed abroad to hide out in Hong Kong. It is a question of the Espionage Act and if they can nail him for that. Our government, right now, the criminal investigation has just begun. Where or where can he hide out with the extradition treaties that we have with so many countries? It would be tough for Snowden to do that. The way the administration is talking, I don't think they're going to let up the gas on this one. Doubtful he gets a pass, even though if you go to the White House website, you can put up a petition, and there is a petition to just free him, absolve him from any guilt as far as this massive leak is concerned. What's really disconcerting about the National Security Agency is that many times, and they've admitted this, when they've intercepted private email messages and phone calls of maybe you, me, your cousin in Arkansas, whoever, we have no link to terrorism, but the Justice Department files something. They have to report the errors to a secret national security court and then destroy the information. Supposedly that's what happens. Somebody hits a wrong button. But we have a big problem with people hitting the wrong button, don't we? So phone calls and emails were pulled from hundreds of millions that were stored by companies like Facebook and others, you know, other internet servers. And that's how a lot of this information was gotten. It's part of the NSA surveillance program. Interesting enough, James Clapper, the director of National Intelligence, said that this is a sensitive intelligence collection program after it's now been disclosed. Retired Admiral Dennis Blair, he was part of Obama's DNI in 2009 and 2010, said that in one instance in 2009, analysts entered a phone number into the computers, and that's where that whole digit was wrong thing that's happened a few times, and they got a large bunch of information about Americans that weren't connected to anything terror-wise, but they reported it immediately, and all of that information was destroyed. So now we're learning a lot about this program. You know, so here's the thing. Is he complicit in this, and should they nail him for this because it was classified information? And, okay, so he revealed this collection, what was happening here, but he also revealed secret documents. You know, you can't get around that factor. You can't get around that. National security, that's what's going to be held up here. National security, national security, national security. It's interesting because Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon says that on at least one occasion, the National Security Court found that some of this culling, some of the collection by the intelligence community overall, was unreasonable under the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. So I guess we're going back to all of this again. How many times... That's what I want to know. How many times does the NSA have to report improper collection of the information to the court? That's what I'd like to know. I'd like to know that, and then I'd like to know the information now that we all know it. Did it lead to any turning over any of groups or people who had the intent of harming us? Pete is our first batter up in Texas. Hey, Pete, how are you?
Hello, Princess.
How are you, buddy?
Any better, I'd be twins. What
I love that.
Yeah. What we have here is a premature cyberspace Paul Revere, Thomas Paine, constitutionalist whistleblower.
There you go, Thomas Paine. I think he'd like that analogy.
And, you know, he's got the constitutional thing going. He better cling to that. And I hear Argentina's pretty this time of year.
Yeah, it's better to go to a Latin American country. Even Julian Assange advised him of that, so there you go. It could be.
But,
yeah, wouldn't be surprising.
You know, but... And another thing, get you a big chief tablet, one of them big old fat pencils, and write a letter and put it in the mailbox, spend your 45 cents, and use the mail. Don't use these gadgets to do your black ops stuff.
Well, that's true. If you were thinking of doing anything like that, Pete, that would be the way to go. You know, Bush, when he was president, George W. Bush, he didn't email. He saw what was happening to everyone. He's like, no, brother, I'm not touching the keyboard. He didn't email anyone.
No, this is as close as I've come to playing on a game, just talking on a cell phone.
There you go.
You know, I can't, my job on a computer, so I'm not messing with it. And I've got other people that can do that for me.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you know what, if you're really paranoid about it, thanks, Peter. If you're really paranoid about it, then the thing to do is to be careful what device you're using. You know what? There's this new Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. And what they're doing is they're trying to find out directly from the source what happened, what the whole gathering process is, and they're trying to come up with their conclusions. But here's what's interesting. This board was first authorized, and people forget this when the story came out, back in 2007, and they were supposed to monitor privacy and so-called civil liberties throughout the entire government. But there were all kinds of delays by the president in nominating people, and there were lots of arguments over the membership. So the panel only officially came into existence, you're going to love this, last week when, when all of this was going down. And the chairman of this board is David Medin, and when he was sworn in, that's when it all started. But this shows you the problem of the government. It was authorized by our government, by Congress in 2007, to monitor. So we already had this. Okay, good. Let's come up with people on the panel and let's do it. But it took us that many years to come up with the panel because we delayed it and we couldn't figure out who to put on this 5-member panel. There's a big problem in that, too, I think. That's crazy. Crazy. All right, stay with us. Andrew Szabo coming up next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
Secret here on America Tonight. We've been talking about this for a long time. What happens with Republicans now heading into the future? The College Republican National Committee released a report last week. It was a 95-page study which looked at the party's view on social and economic issues, as well as, and this is so key, and so many of you call up to rant about this, the messaging, the outreach, all of that kind of stuff, and the debacles that have actually happened with the GOP and the brand, and what are the major challenges the party faces in trying to woo young voters. Each and every week he joins us on the show, Peel Back the Onion with Andrew Szabo. He's the marketing chef. He is a professional branding and messaging expert. This is in his wheelhouse. Andrew, what is wrong with the GOP?
Well, there's actually several fronts, and for anybody looking from the outside, it shouldn't come as a great surprise, but it's amazing how common sense is not very common. And this study slams some of the Republicans' almost singular focus on downsizing big government, cutting taxes. And there were several issues that this report came up with, which really disturbs the young voters. There's the whole issue of gay marriage, and it's not, sometimes it's not just about the subject, it's how we talk about the subject as well. Hispanics, Latino voters, there's a perception by young people that they tend to think the GOP couldn't care less about Hispanics. The perception of the party's economic stance. Quote, this is a quote from the report. We've become the party that will pat you on your back when you make it, but won't offer you a hand to help you get there. And a big reason for the image problem is the outrageous statements which were made by some loose cannons in the Republican Party. We may remember those that were being shot off. And even though a lot of people dismissed that, that's a loose cannon Republican, that does not hold the majority of belief, for the majority of Republicans, but not the belief of the majority of Republicans, because that loose cannon had a big echo, and a big echo in particular with young people. So part of this is an image problem. Part of this is actually it's the perception, because at the end of the day, as we know, messaging and messaging strategy, brand strategy, is about a perception. What's the perception? The perception right now is not very good.
Yeah, the perception is not very good. That's for certain. And it's interesting because now they're talking about, you know, Rens Priebus, who is the guy running the party, the chairman of the party, basically. Remember, he released the RNC's Growth and Opportunity Project Assessment. But and that was the whole thing about reshaping, looking at what we can do on campuses and gathering all the surveys and all that sort of stuff. So do you think, now there's people who will say, well, you know what, we have a party that has a lot of different opinions. We have our hardcore conservatives, we have our fiscally concerned conservatives, but then we have the others that are a little bit more liberal in the social area. So you and I said this off the air, you know, you can't please a bunch of masters. I think you got to pick a lane here.
Well, I think that, yes, and wasn't that the beauty of Ronald Reagan, is that he had a singular message that was simple, that managed to, even though he picked a lane, but it was in a way that others could embrace it. And I think by having sometimes these lanes that some Republicans are picking, that is, it's a very singular, a very narrow lane. Even Ronald Reagan, and he was one of the older presidents to be elected, he did fine with the youth vote. And I think that's part of that was sort of disappointing in terms of the conclusion of this study, is that no time it really focused on, okay, here's all the problems, what about the solutions? And I think part of the solution has to be the simplicity of Reagan's conservative message. He enjoyed being a rebel, let's face it, you know, where the establishment was concerned. He was not afraid of annoying the left. He sometimes caused a ruckus on the right. That's the kind of stuff that will excite young voters, who love a fight with the establishment. And we're not really seeing that. They want to continue to compromise. So I agree with you, Kate. You've got to pick a lane, but pick a lane that says something, not one that's all about compromise. You know, we're starting to do that. We're seeing that. You know, we have a pointless debt ceiling limit, right? That was all came about by compromise. You know, and we keep measuring this thing by the trillions, and it has no meaning.
No kidding. I agree with you there. It's interesting. We're talking with Andrew Szabo, the marketing chef. Andrew, another thing that the college Republicans are saying, they're warning that the primary message, and this is your deal, you're the messaging expert, say the primary message and the reason it's not resonating with younger people is the fact that they're just bashing big government, and they're saying taxes should go up on the wealthy is part of mixed in here. Younger voters are saying that. Only 3% said taxes should be cut for the wealthy, and the whole bashing big government didn't play well and was, they said, was even damaging in some of these focus groups. And these are college Republicans saying that they did their warning, hey, we don't like the primary message of cutting taxes and reducing the size of government. It doesn't resonate with us. But, geez, what do you do with that? Because that is a big chunk of what the Republican Party is about and why so many of us embrace it. We don't want to see big government.
Yeah, I think it's also how you say it and how you communicate it. So I think part of the key is definitely the message, but how we talk about big debt. So if we're talking about cutting and not cutting taxes for the wealthy, that's one way to talk about it. But that is a turnoff. That doesn't speak to the young voters. If you tell them, look, you guys are going to be in debt. We have to do certain things. And so part of it has to be the spokesperson. One of Reagan's things is that he was charismatic. The Republicans need to find a messenger. So as important as the message is, the messenger is equally important. That's one of the key reasons why Obama, people half the time didn't even know what his message was, that he was a very charismatic candidate. So who delivers the message is as important as the message. Secondly, they need to be able to speak the young voters' language. You've got to find out what – is it that in the young voters' language, in the message, that will resonate that, to that? And the third element is you want a candidate that tweets, okay? And not have somebody else tweeting for them. I know a lot of candidates do that, but it's got to sound like the voice of that candidate, because we are seeing some older candidates. We see that with Democrats, too, who obviously have a young person tweeting, and there is a disconnect between when you see that person on TV speaking live, the soundbite, and then the tweet. Clearly, somebody else doing it. So you've got to, even if there is somebody else doing it, it's got to have a congruence between the candidate's voice. So to summarize three things, you've got the messenger is as important as the message. You've got to talk in the language of young people, and you've got to use the media of young people if you want to attract them.
So really what you're saying, this is perfect. I would agree with you here. If you were the guy in charge, they hire you, an outside person, come in, all right, let's peel this back. Here's what the data says. Now what do we do? What are the solutions? You would say one of the key things is that's, you're right, I also concur about the tweets, but it's about being authentic, because if you are one way in behind the mic at these whistle stops, shaking hands, all this stuff, but it doesn't match up with what your social media is, these kids will they'll sniff it out, won't they?
Yeah, and I think that now you're seeing a couple of newer candidates like Cruz and Paul. They've stuck to their conservative principles, but they've used avenues like social media to effectively reach young voters. Also, young voters like you know, if you're cause oriented, you know, and then you're not afraid to pick a fight. So they definitely can be provocative and challenge the establishment. That's what young people want to hear. They don't want to hear the same old, same old. It's got to be positioned that we're challenging even some of the Republican conservative principles in a particular way, because if the things don't work, they don't work. I don't care if it's left or to the right. If it doesn't work, challenge it. We have to solve problems. There's some fundamental issues going on in this country. So the message needs to be a little bit more provocative. The message can be, I think, a lot more provocative. And we've got to use the right social media. It's got to be authentic, as you say. And it's got to talk to the young person.
Excellent stuff. Peel back the onion with Andrew Szabo, the marketing chef. He is a professional branding and messaging expert. Andrew, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Kate.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
We can buy GMOs stressed out about money and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
We have death threats directed at us for being George's family. I believe it's an improper charge altogether. I wish they would just withdraw it. Seeing as how that's not likely to happen now, I'm confident they're not going to meet their burden. We do not engage people very much, and certainly not in any meaningful sense in public, because we have to keep a very low profile publicly.
All right, the run-up to what is now George Zimmerman's trial for the murder of Trayvon Martin, the defendant's brother, who you just heard there, has come under a lot of fire recently, and when this whole thing first happened, for a series of tweets that he made comparing the victim with a murder suspect and posting that people have good reasons to think that blacks might be risky. Ooh. And Robert Zimmerman Jr. said that they had discussed this and agreed that in the end, when he started to come under fire for this, that the tweets were racist in nature. And a reporter was asking him again and again about it. And, you know, then they talked about the trial, and then that's what you heard a little bit there about the family and what was happening in the family, and they wish it would all just go away, but it's not just going away by any stretch of the imagination, because now they're just in the phase of picking the jury. So this is far from over. In fact, I think this, I don't know if it's typically in this kind of a trial, you could be looking down the road at least a couple of months, maybe longer, because it depends on some of the evidence that's ultimately going to be presented and what the defense is going to throw up. And so the Zimmerman trial is ready to roll, and it's unlikely that people are trying to debate this. It's very unlikely that he'll take the stand, perhaps, but I doubt it. So the question will be, you know, it comes down to two things. Was it self-defense? Stand my ground law? That's going to be heavily played here by his defense attorney, that he acted in self-defense. Or, you know, on the other side, prosecution is going for the jugular. They're saying murder, murder, murder. So it's a second-degree murder charge. That's what ultimately he faces. He's pleaded not guilty, as you all know, and he's free on $1 million bond. But, you know, now here we go. It's about picking the jury and then rolling on from there with the opening arguments and the presenting the evidence, and I think we'll see. I think this is going to be an interesting trial to follow. There is definitely some buzz for it in the area because people are lining up to get seats in the courtroom. The George Zimmerman Defense Fund has raised $85,000 in the past week and a half. Media coverage of this is going to be amazingly intense. It's going to be just like, remember, the Casey Anthony trial, because it's in that same neighborhood, but the context is very different. We'll be talking about stand your ground, guns, a neighborhood watch, drugs, all kinds of things, because so many things might or could be admitted as far as Trayvon Martin is concerned in his past. So this will be one to follow without a doubt. I know, depending on all the nonsense of the circus that is in Washington that's going on, a lot of conversation will be generated over what happens in this case. Quick follow-up here is, you know, we've been talking obviously a lot about the NSA leaker and this whole debate that's happening in our country and I guess globally. Is he a traitor? Is he a hero? Is he a goat? Is he this? Is he that? And ultimately, is our government hammering us on invasion of privacy? So are they treading where they should not be treading? And is the administration trying to hide behind, well, we're going after the boogeyman, we're going after terrorists, so we need to have all access? And too bad, so sad. I wish we could just put it that way, but that's what we're doing. And, you know, move on from there. What do you expect us to do? They're not going to say that. But behind closed doors, I hear the gloves are off, let's just say this. So here's the follow-up. The grand jury is in Philly. There's a grand jury that's going to investigate the Philadelphia building collapse. I told you that I walked by this building so many times in my life, I can't tell you. When I'd go downtown to visit my mother, who worked off of Market Street. So they're looking in to try to determine whether a crane operator is going to have criminal charges levied against him, because it looks like he is. And is there anybody else that's going to be thrown into this thing as well? A vacant building was being torn down in Philly. It was a four-story wall collapsed onto a Salvation Army thrift store, killed six people and injured, you know, 13 other people, too. So they're going to look at all aspects of what happened there. It's a very freaky, weird thing. I mean, talk about reckless endangerment. That's obviously there. And what they're looking into with the crane guy is that the toxicology test that they did showed that he was under the influence of drugs or some kind of controlled substance anyway and was too impaired to operate the crane. But here's the thing. You got to assume, well, you don't have to assume, but systematically you go through a list of people. There has to be other people that you could go after in this case. And this district attorney is hot to nail some people for what happened here. Every day it's being played out and played out. All aspects of the collapse, including the city agencies involved and all of that other stuff, too, as well. So the crane operator was this 42-year-old Sean Bettenchop, and he turned himself in. And so he's one person on the chopping block, and, you know, who knows who else comes along also after they go further into this and they continue that with that grand jury, see if they turn over a few other people. Maybe someone connected to the building is what I'm thinking, because they had to have known what was going on here, why it wasn't just shut off. It's crazy. I don't understand that. If they're in the middle of tearing down this building, well, how could they not think that it was all shaky around it? It makes absolutely no sense. So this is something that did not have to happen. Hey, as somebody who lived near the Hoover Dam, at one point in my life, believe it or not, I lived in Sin City, Las Vegas. what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Oh, a whole lot of crazy happened in Vegas. Not necessarily to me, but they say, and I can remember how many times did I go down in this area, a 69-year-old man, died from extreme heat. He was hiking with four Boy Scouts at a place called White Rock Canyon. It's very close to the Hoover Dam. The temperatures there are crazy. And hiking, man, you'd have to have so much water. They said it was 110 degrees. So they found him about a mile from the Arizona Hot Springs Trailhead, and they see they have this area. It's the Arizona-Nevada border. If you stand on Hoover Dam, they even have a line right there. So they actually airlifted him, and then the four scouts were helicoptered, too. They were treated by paramedics. They had a call that came in that talked about, you know, what had happened, and they rescued the scouts, so thank goodness that's the good thing. But, boy, I don't know. What were they thinking? What was he thinking in doing the that extreme heat? I guess assuming that, you know, you get acclimated. And then there is a false sense of that. For those of you listening, you know what I'm talking about in some areas in this country. It's like that whole debate about, well, it's a hot heat versus it's not, there's not the humidity. And you think you get used to it, and then you're out in it, and you realize just the heat exhaustion is, especially there, is incredible. When they get that high heat, it's nuts. I mean, I remember I used to go out on the golf course, and I thought later in the day it was okay, but boy, you'd just go a couple of holes and you were done. I mean, you were just toast because you hit those, the thermometer goes up and you think, you don't feel it. You know, you get used to it, you don't feel it unless you're constantly in and out of the air, and then maybe you feel it. So that's too bad, man. That, I just got to think, you know, where were these scouts from? Because to me, it doesn't seem as though they were from Nevada. They certainly would know that. All right, I am the pole princess, so I would be remiss not to go into this with you. And I could have saved it for the next segment when we do We Can Count, but I'm going to spill the beans here. In this latest poll, the majority is saying that phone tracking is acceptable. So with the government getting slammed back and forth over the crazy overreach of surveillance programs, my word, some of the details that were leaked out last week, a new poll says that Americans haven't really changed in their view of federal monitoring, and more than half say they're okay with one of the programs. In fact, here's the numbers. Check this out. 56% say the government's tracking of phone records is an acceptable way to look into terrorism, to investigate terrorism. And, you know, this is a pretty good poll because this is the Pew Research Center and the Washington Post. So you're not really slanting in a certain direction. The public isn't as supportive of the government's ability to monitor email. So now that's the difference. And the survey was just done after all this stuff was coming out in The Guardian and The Washington Post, because remember, it broke last Thursday revealing that the government had obtained a court order demanding a couple of things. One, that the Verizon business network services turn over, you know, a bunch of phone calls from April to July. And then all the PRISM stuff happened, the National Security Agency's program PRISM, which allow them to extract the details of online stuff like audio and video chats and photographs and emails and documents and all that other material. Google, Apple, Microsoft, a bunch of other internet firms. PalTalk was in there too. So in the survey, when they were asked if the government should be able to monitor emails to prevent possible terrorism, 45% say yes, 52% say no. So a lot of this hasn't changed very much. Younger Americans more supportive of privacy than older Americans in general. How about that? Hang with us.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
When you need it the most, will your generator, power equipment, or vehicle be ready? Gas and diesel fuels go bad quickly when stored, and more than half of generator failures during disasters occur as a result of expired fuel. PRI fuel stabilizers keep your fuel fresh for when you need it most. Nuclear power stations, emergency service providers, and ships at sea rely on PRI fuel stabilizers. And you can too. Call 888-776-9373 or visit PRIproducts.com to find the dealer nearest you.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You got to ask yourself when the Susan Komen Foundation announced last week that they were canceling half of their three-day races next year. They were talking about the economy, but it seems as though people are still furious with the Komen Group for pulling its grants for breast cancer screenings from Planned Parenthood. There was a big backlash in 2012. The group's founder, Nancy Brinker, and CEO reversed the decision ultimately to defund the organization, announced she would be stepping down, but she still holds her position. So here it is 10 months later. She didn't do that. She gets a 64% raise. She makes $684,000 a year. So what's interesting here is some people want to make comparisons. The American Red Cross had a revenue of about $3.4 billion. Komen had $340 million. The CEO for the Red Cross, Gail McGovern is the woman's name, makes $500,000. So I guess you compare the two. That kind of gives you a sense, you know, with charities, people who are donating money don't really like to give tons of money to charities where they have people who are making a ton of that money at the top of the food chain, no matter who they are. But the Komen people open themselves up for criticism and problems once they defunded what they were doing with Planned Parenthood, and then that was it. It was a nightmare, and they've really never, ever recovered from that. And then you release her salary, and then that makes people even more furious, and then the donations go from there. It's interesting because, boy, that is a group that really, really had a lot of power and had a lot of people interested in their walks and everything else that they, everything else that they touch seemed to be absolutely turned to some shade of successful pink, we'll say. Because remember, it's all about pink with that organization. They made it famous, suffice to say. This is a crazy story that that many of you might have seen. A New Jersey police officer now officially being held on $1 million bail. He was charged with shooting and killing a man on a highway in Maryland in a road rage deal. 40-year-old Joe Walker, who was an officer with the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office, was charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter. He shot 36-year-old Joe Harvey on an off-ramp on Interstate 97. I know this area near Millersville. And they say that what happened was, I mean, here's the crux of it, is that the off-duty cop got into an argument with the other guy shortly after, 8:30, quarter nine, whatever it was at night. So it was night. They were driving on the road. They pulled over on the shoulder. Harvey got out of the car along with the passenger, and they started walking toward the minivan. And then he fired, Walker fired a 45 Glock at Harvey and hit him. So, boom, that was it. He nailed him. They say the officer's wife and three kids were in the car at the time of the shooting. So they're looking into to see if there's more than that. Wow. That is crazy road rage, whatever was going on there when they were going back and forth on the road to have that happen. I mean, what was he thinking? And a cop, no less. So now he's held on the bail, and they got him. I don't see what the argument is going to be there. These are the things that you hate to hear about. Los Angeles to Texas on a flight had to be diverted because of a bomb threat. It was a Southwest airliner, had about 140 some passengers. They were going actually from the West Coast to Austin, Texas. They landed in Phoenix. Somebody phoned in a bomb threat specifically about that flight. The plane was in the air. F-16 jets were sent to monitor what was happening there. So it landed safely in Phoenix. The passengers got off the plane. You can imagine they were jumbled up. I mean, so all of a sudden you look out and you see that. Oh, no, 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 no. What are you thinking? And they searched the plane. They didn't find any kind of explosives. And they interviewed all the passengers. And they screened the luggage. And this went way into the night. So all these people were derailed, probably worried, everything else. And they isolated the plane away from everything else in the airport. And then they took the people to Austin as soon as they can. But that had to be frightening because of what we know to have happened in the past. What are you thinking in your head when that happens? You know, whoa. You look out of the side and you suddenly see the F-16s. Yeah, I just have to think that there'd be a little bit of panic happening in your mind if that's what you saw when you looked out to the side of the wings of the plane, and then you realized that the plane was landing, and who knows what they were saying on the plane. But man, that's scary stuff, I have to say. All right, we haven't talked about this too much on the air, but this is unfortunately a sad story, but a life well lived, I would say. Nelson Mandela's family are all descending, to his bedside. He's in a hospital, and he's being treated, but they say in South Africa that he's not in a good in a good state. He's being treated. He was rushed there because of a lung infection. And even his former wife, Winnie, showed up to the hospital, too, as well. You think of the 27 years in prison and what happened in prison, the tuberculosis hurting his lungs, certainly there. We know the significance of Nelson Mandela and the Nobel Prize and whatnot that happened to him afterwards and what he did as far as raising the awareness of, apartheid, the whole anti-apartheid movement, without a doubt. So pretty significant what he did for that country, and and what happened to him during his long prison stay and what happened to that country. So all eyes are really there. His health had been failing. And, I mean, he's not a spring chicken, certainly, and it's amazing how long Mandela has been around. 90, he's going to be 95 next month if he makes it to that, and he's looked rather frail in some of the more recent photographs that they, you know, that they have of him. And I'll tell you, it will be a huge funeral once he passes. I mean, you'll see pretty much any world leader that you can think of, past and present, that would descend on any kind of a service that they would have for Mandela. I know a lot of people who had the fortune of meeting him at some point in their life, all the different trips that he made to the United States and whatnot, and they talked about some pretty interesting conversations that they had with Mandela, and I, you know, can only imagine, as I said, what that would be like. All right, you're gonna love this one. Simon Cowell, who lots of people hated when he was part of American Idol, but they hated enough to watch him. That's why they got huge ratings. This is a funny thing. He's part of a television show in England. He was pelted with a bunch of eggs, five eggs, I guess. I guess many people who probably wanted to nail him in the past were all singing her praises. So Natalie Holt was part of this reality show, Britain's Got Talent. And when she was singing, I guess he was pretty critical of her. So she decided that she would pelt him with eggs instead of going on with her song. So she had an egg carton in her hand, and she started tossing the eggs at Simon Cowell. I guess she hit him with about five eggs before security stopped her. You gotta love that. And the other people that were on the stage kept singing The Impossible Dream. What a moment.
You just don't get it, do you? You don't.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.